The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
It's not just any edition. It's the Monday edition of The Ride Home.
It's the dark and cloudy Monday. Man. It's not as bad now as it was this morning. When I woke up, I thought, really?
I was feeling like in April, I thought, oh, April's a very dry month. May... It's like a tsunami out there.
I don't know what is
what
happening.
What the heck?
I don't know what is happening.
Yeah, yeah. How you doing? Happy Monday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
I hope all of you had a fun Mother's Day weekend, those of you who are who were celebrating such a thing.
Did you yourself have one?
I did.
As you were celebrating it?
I did.
Did you do anything yesterday special for Mother's Day?
I bought...
Shotgun.
Scottish salmon.
Scottish salmon.
Which is the very best kind.
Why? Why is it Scottish? I mean, is it sponsored by Alistair Begg?
It's sponsored by Alistair Begg.
What is the deal there?
It comes with bagpipe noises.
As you
helps.
Cut into it.
It helps you with an authentic thing.
It's very, they say the Scots can make a penny go a long way. You know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My parents would always talk about that. Yeah. The frugality of the Scots.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, it's... It's not really a plump.
It's a penny pinching salmon.
Yeah, it's very thin.
No, here's the thing. It's not farm raised, so it's wild. And I'm telling you.
If you compared
Scottish salmon to an Atlantic salmon, which is good, but it's farm raised, you would be able to tell the difference. It is that much better.
Wait, this salmon flies all the way over from Scotland?
It doesn't fly. Well, I mean, it's caught and then it's put in a plane. It doesn't fly on its own.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
somehow
it is flown.
It's flown over here.
Yes, it is.
What does that cost? A Scottish salmon flown?
I don't know, but I pay $14 a pound for it.
Holy moly. Flown from the shores of Scotland to your...
$14.98 a pound.
Did you broil it?
I did broil it.
So, non-farm raised.
Right.
Non... What? What was the other...
It's wild.
Wild. So, yeah. Wild Scottish salmon.
I'm telling you, it is the best salmon.
How can you verify that? You can't.
Ask my friend Sam Woolley.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
well, I bet he'll agree.
All right.
Scottish salmon, listen, very nice. It was so delicious.
Excellent.
And then my husband was like, now why are you cooking on Mother's Day? And I said, you know, that's a good point. I should have thought of that. But I made it and I was so happy.
I made scallops yesterday. I did. Sea scallops.
Were they delicious?
They weren't from Scotland, but they were still darn good, I'll tell you that.
I mean, the ones from, I don't even know
no,
if...
they may have been from the Mon, for all I know, but they were excellent.
Thing.
We had a real basic meal that I made, because there was nobody home, just my wife and I.
Okay.
I just made scallops, we had baked potatoes, and some asparagus.
That sounds very
nice. Pretty darn good.
Yeah. Now, did you choose the scallops, or did she, because it was Mother's Day, and she decided, she picked?
That's her favorite.
Wanted. Oh, I didn't
know. She loves some scallops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like them.
What?
I know. I know that that's stupid. I wish that I really loved them and I could appreciate them.
Bay scallops versus sea scallops?
Is that a big difference?
Oh, gigantic.
Is it?
In size and in taste.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really? I have a, I just met a young woman from Grove City College whose father is a diver, a scallop diver off the coast of Maine.
Wow.
And diver scallops apparently are like the height...
Really?
Of if you're looking for
the highest of high,
right?
End.
That's the expensive ones, I guess. The ones that are actually,
really?
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, he's been doing that for his entire career.
A diver,
Someone
who makes their living as a diver.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? What's the?
And you know what? It's year round.
In Maine, how cold is it to get in the water?
Can you
in Maine?
Believe that?
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I could think of other ways to make a living. That's a man who loves his family.
Holy
oh my goodness gracious!
Smokes.
Yeah.
He'd
nice.
Be an interesting person to have on the show.
He sure would
time,
be. Yeah, yeah, really would be.
All right, so two stories that caught our attention today, and both of them, I would say, fall under the heading of we are missing the heart of the matter. So the first one has to do with euthanasia across the sea. And the other one has to do with just a thing that seems really silly, but I think it's still important here at home. Let's talk about the Netherlands first. So I saw this article today in evolutionnews.org, which is a website, I got to be honest with you, I'm not on a lot.
Whenever you sent me the article, I had to look to see the source, thinking, is this made up? Mm-hmm. Because the story is so outrageous,
and
so
heartbreaking. You think it can't really be true.
How can this be true? How can this even be true?
Joint suicides by elderly couples used to be considered a tragedy. In the Netherlands, though, doctors killing elderly couples together is considered medical treatment.
What?
It is hard to believe. So last year, there were 9 such killings in the country, husbands and wives together. Details were not available on most of them, but one involved a husband dying of cancer. His wife had MS. She asked to die with him because she would be unable to live independently and didn't want to be cared for by strangers. So the Dutch believe that euthanasia is an important part of medical care and that everyone should be able to determine exactly when they die and that doctors should be mandated to do this.
So the man who was married to the woman with MS, apparently, you know, we're not reading deeper into this. He had no terminal condition.
No.
But he volunteered to die along with his wife.
Well, actually, he had decided to die. And because he decided to die, she said that there was no one to take care of her, so she wanted to die.
He decided to die. Why?
Doesn't say.
But under Netherlands law, the Netherlands.
Right.
This is applicable.
A-OK.
Holy smokes.
Not only is it okay, but it's a good thing. Now, this is the part that shocked me. First of all, that is an incredibly sad story.
Sure,
right?
It is.
But what shocked me even more than that was the fact that last year, about 25% of deaths in the Netherlands are induced by doctors.
How can that even be?
A whole quarter of the people who are dying in the Netherlands are because doctors are killing them.
What does that process look like?
I don't know.
How do you have to go through this?
I can't. I seriously cannot get around that number. 25%. Now,
it sounds like fake news.
Right. So there were a number of patients that were killed by psychiatrists and others because of mental illness. Okay. There were 3 children between the ages of 12 and 17.
Your child? You can kill your
child? 3 children between the ages of 12 and 17 were, quote unquote, put down.
Put down?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an injured animal.
Yep. 205 cases of homicide by doctor as a supposed treatment for 2 or more elderly disorders, issues like hearing loss, balance issues, and cognitive decline.
Holy smokes.
25% of all deaths in 2018 in the Netherlands were via doctor.
That has to be thousands, don't you think?
Yeah.
Thousands? How can that even be? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay, so what does it point to? To me, it points to the fact that we've decided that killing people is a good thing, okay, and is an acceptable thing. Okay, so what's the actual problem, though? The actual problem is people are in incredibly sad situations and don't have any support. That's the problem, right? The problem is that there is disease, there's mental illness, there's all kinds of family dysfunction, all those sorts of things, and people are choosing death over dealing with it alone. Isn't the heart of the matter the fact that people are isolated lonely and desperate?
That's the large problem. Yes.
Isn't it sad that the Netherlands, instead of trying to address the heart of the issue, which is helping people through challenging, sad, life-altering moments, and choosing instead to tell doctors to kill them?
Well, perhaps they already have tried this.
There's nothing about that.
What's community like?
Yeah,
what's the church like?
What are nothing about
social
that.
Services like?
I mean, as I see it, the Netherlands did not attempt any of those things.
Where do you go from? How does that have a green light straight to death? Someone's feeling depressed, and you go to your doctor and say, you know, I'm in despair. I'm done.
And so the doctor says,
I'll write you a prescription for what? Who's doing this?
I know a guy.
You have to be illegally licensed. Is that a thing?
I think you would have to, but who knows?
Who knows? What we're talking about sounds like something insane to begin with, even the conversation. So what does that look like? We have to go deeper into this because this seems to me like science fiction. It truly does.
It is a it is an absolutely shocking number that 25% of all deaths in the Netherlands are induced. All right. So you also brought up this, and I had not seen this story about the Long Island University in Brooklyn.
The Long Island University.
Remember that one? Long Island University in Brooklyn.
Oh, the the Blackbird.
Right.
After 84 years, Long Island University, which is in Brooklyn, deems their mascot, the Blackbird, as racist. So there's a photograph of this. You know, it looks like a typical mascot you would see at a game, right?
It's like it's a big
a Blackbird that was, you know, walking in the stands, like, you know, the pirate parrot or any number of black, you know, any number of mascots. So apparently, in our new woke phase of life we're going through here in the United States of America, many things are deemed offensive.
Okay, but so here's another instance where we're missing the point. I mean, the point is that people of color feel like they have been marginalized by white society. That's the problem. Okay, but we're
and they have been.
But we're yes, of course. But we're treating that. We're treating the symptom of that with stupid things like getting rid of a blackbird because it's a racist mascot. That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, it's a blackbird.
Right.
There's such a thing as a blackbird.
Right. So what does that have to do with any type of racial stereotyping?
I don't know. I mean, look, this is in the same neighborhood where Kate Smith was banned.
Right.
Right.
And which is another instance of totally missing the point.
I know.
Totally missing the point. It's like we're not able to look for the deep problem and try to come up with a way to deal with the deep problem. And so we find the thing that's on the surface that seems like we can attack it and we're going to do that instead.
I think so.
Why?
Right? I don't know.
Are we lazy? Are we just spiritually incapable of dealing with asking for forgiveness and giving it?
Why would you have to ask for forgiveness for a bird as a mascot?
Well, I'm saying that the deeper issue is the white-black issue. And the only way that that's going to be resolved is through
conversation,
back and forth,
asking engagement.
Asking for forgiveness, giving it. Has nothing to do with a stupid blackbird mascot.
No, it doesn't. No.
And it doesn't have anything to do with Kate Smith either and her statue that still has the black cloth over it. While we determine whether she was
a racist or not in 1934.
Right.
Right. God bless America. I don't know. I don't know, Kath. Look, this is the world we live in.
Yeah, we're missing the point.
Yeah.
I don't think we're capable as people of getting at the heart of the issue anymore. I don't think we are.
I think we are. But I think that, you know, a mob mentality has taken place here where there have been extreme fringe things that people have said for a long time that have now become the reality. And because of that, because of the power mm-hmm. of social media, people who would normally be just the town crank have risen up now in the thousands of numbers, and it takes a weight on of its own. So there is truth to that power. Heaven help us. I don't know. I mean, we live in a sanitized world where nothing is allowable anymore. Everything has to be checked and double checked and sanitized to the extreme.
What, except for if you get too sad, your doctor can kill you?
You know that's going to come to the United States of America.
Which is why
soon.
I think we better talk about it.
Sooner or later. Well, I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to find out more about this so we can go a little later on in the week. We'll do our due diligence homework, all right? Speaking of due diligence, we're going to go to the White House in just a few minutes as we kick off the show with our first guest. We're going to talk with Greg Clugston, who joins us from SRN News, the White House correspondent. Stay tuned for that.
Are you getting close to retirement? Have you experienced a nice bump in your portfolio? Look, we know the market goes up, and unfortunately, we also know it goes down. So don't risk your retirement to market whims. Learn how you can lock in those gains today by spending time with the team at Marley Financial. Todd Marley and the experts at Marley Financial can help you design a retirement plan that's bulletproof against the market's ups and downs. The team at Marley uses a multitude of different techniques to make sure you have a retirement that's tax-friendly, stable, and worry-free. Oh, and speaking of tax, taxes, did you know that Marley Financial can handle them too? With all the changes in the tax laws, be sure you're taking advantage of the best possible deduction and make sure you know what adjustments to make for your overall financial picture going forward. Call today for a no-obligation consultation to see just how for 25 years the clients at Marley Financial have never had a retirement plan fail. So give them a call today, 724-884-1496. That's 724-884-1496 or find them online, marleyfg.com.
101.5 WORD.
Are you tired of playing control games with your kids? Do you want to stop the tug of war? On the next Focus on the Family, Drs. Henry Cloud and John Townsend share wise, trusted advice to help you set parent-child roles and healthy boundaries. Join us for an insightful broadcast for parents on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Tonight at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Everyone's talking about Better Together, the exciting new talk show by women and for women airing daily on TBN Television Network. Join host Lori Crouch and some awesome women of faith in action. Better Together is a fast-moving 30 minutes of honest, engaging conversation about all sorts of issues. No topic is off limits. That's what Better Together is all about. Living, loving, and growing in God's grace together as friends and family. Join in weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific for Better Together, exclusively on TBN.
For kids, Idlewild is a place full of adventures. There are rides that are just their size, treats to tickle their taste buds, and special friends like Daniel Tiger to touch their hearts. When you're a grown-up, Idlewild is every bit as magical, every bit as memorable, every bit as fun. Idlewild and Soak Zone, because you love to see them smile. Get unlimited admission with three payments under $24 each at Idlewild.com.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
Every Monday during this time, we go to the White House. Greg Clugston joins us from SRN News. Greg is the White House correspondent. Greg, how are things in the nation's capital with you today?
Hey, doing okay. It's a little soggy here in D.C., but we're hanging in.
Excellent.
Greg, so the trade war is on with China. Trump has said that we're going to assess tariffs on a certain percentage of Chinese goods, and China says, well, you know, we'll one-up you, and we're, I don't know, $62 billion worth of goods we're going to put tariffs on. Talk about how the White House is responding.
Yeah, that was Beijing's response of retaliation earlier today after the latest round of tariffs that the president and the U.S. imposed effective last Friday. And so this has rattled markets. This has people worried about a protracted trade war with China. But just within the last hour, we heard for the first time today the president take questions on this subject, and he doesn't sound too worried, at least publicly. He believes that the U.S. is in such a strong position economically versus China when it comes to, you know, hammering out the details of a trade deal, that he thinks the tariffs are simply a positive for the U.S. economy.
Really?
And if you look at his Twitter account last Friday, he said that tariffs are now being paid to the U.S. by China, and he claimed that the payments from China on the tariffs are going directly to the Treasury of the United States. And that has led a lot of people and economists and others to kind of scratch their heads, because that really isn't exactly how tariffs work.
Yeah. Right.
When we slap tariffs on Chinese goods, that is, you know, forcing the companies that buy, companies here in the U.S. that get those goods from China, it's costing them more to bring those goods in, is what happens. And the real fear is that companies that they've paid more money are going to pass those costs on to the American buyer. So consumers here in the U.S. will end up paying, because it's essentially a tax on these goods that are being shipped in from China.
I see. So any idea how the stock market performed today? It's always an indicator.
Yeah, well, the Dow took a big hit, down over 600 points today.
Mm-hmm.
It had been even lower during the trading day at some point, but it was down right from the outset, and it closed down 617 points. And that, you know, percentage-wise, that's, you know, it's almost a 2.5% drop. The NASDAQ was hit even harder when it comes to a percentage loss of almost 3.5% loss. So the markets did not take it well, and that was after two or three days of losses last week as well. So those have they've stacked up there, John.
Well, I appreciate the president being toe-to-toe with China. Certainly, there's been a lot of talk about that over the years, and no president has done that. This is really sort of first-step anxiety territory because China is so big and so massive in the world. Who knows how this would wash itself out?
You know, it's interesting. You're right in saying that when the president was running for office, and even long before he had launched his presidency, Donald Trump was complaining bitterly and publicly about how he felt China and other countries were taking advantage of the United States when it comes to trade. And so that was a big rallying cry when he was running for election and has been since he's been in office the last 2+ years. And he gets a big line, you know, it's a big applause line at the rallies when he says, hey, we're taking on what he sees as an unlevel playing field with China. And there is something to that. The question that a lot of people are having right now is this tariff back and forth with Beijing really the best way to deal with it? The president argues that the trade negotiators, as of last week, were about 95% in agreement on reaching a new deal, and then China backed out at the last minute, and that's when he decided to up the tariffs.
Well, I think the other concern is that the way the president communicates on Twitter doesn't represent well the complexity of any issue, let alone an economics issue. And so because you're trying to cram, you know, so much information into such a short space, oftentimes you misrepresent things or things don't get fully fleshed out. I mean, I'm saying things that are very obvious to anyone that uses Twitter, but this is just something that when it comes to an issue that's complex like tariffs, he's going to be loved slash hated on this issue, which is, I guess, apparently just like he is on most others.
Yeah, he will be, and he sometimes he'll take statistics or facts and figures that aren't completely accurate, and he'll repeat them at rallies, and then he'll repeat them in responses to questions that reporters throw to him, and it sort of fuels a little uncertainty as to exactly what he's talking about or exactly the sense of his understanding of the trade. And it was really brought to light yesterday, for example, on Fox News Sunday. Here you had the White House economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, a key advisor to President Trump, acknowledging that these tariffs are essentially going to, you know, the cost of these tariffs are going to be handled by the U.S. businesses and consumers, which is the exact opposite of what the president has been saying on Twitter as well as in his public statements. So when you have that within the administration, you know, those kinds of statements at odds, it leads to more confusion for a lot of people.
Yes. SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugson is with us. Greg, let's turn internationally again and tell us about Iran and the president's involvement with what he's calling the terrorist state.
Well, you know, last week there was some activity when the president dispatched a U.S. aircraft carrier group to the Persian Gulf. The president said that he was responding to threatening Iranian behavior from the Iranian regime. And so that was all of a sudden last week raising questions about the risk of a potential military confrontation with Iran. The president said, as always, he hopes that, you know, there's no sort of war or any sort of military conflict with Iran, but he was taking that action last week by sending that aircraft carrier group. But then what happened was today, just a few minutes ago, when he was talking to reporters in the Oval Office, he was again talking tough when it comes to Iran, because over the weekend or in the last few days, you had several international vessels and ships in the Persian Gulf region come under some sort of sabotage attack, as it was being described. And so the president was essentially putting Iran on notice earlier today by saying, look, no action should be taken against the U.S. or U.S. allies in the region. And he said that they would be very unhappy And that they would suffer, that Iran would suffer greatly if there's any sort of action there. So he's talking tough when it comes to Iran right now.
Yeah, and there has to be some serious intelligence that we don't know about, that the president is aware of, that caused him to send that carrier group over there.
Yeah, he did not elaborate last week when he announced that move, and he didn't elaborate speaking here in the West Wing earlier today.
Mm,
so you're right, there is something there, and he's responding to it.
Okay, so China, Iran, now let's go within the Oval Office to look at the president and his ongoing struggles with the Democrats, and they're pressing for continued investigations.
Yeah, this is an ongoing backdrop here in Washington, which has led to more frustration, I think, on the part of a lot of Americans when they look at Congress and they look at Washington in general, and they don't see a lot of work being done on behalf of the American people, as opposed to, especially in the House, where you've got Democrats in control of the committees launching. They've launched all kinds of investigations. Of course, last week you had a committee, you had the House vote to hold the Attorney General William Barr in contempt because he refused to come up and testify to one of the committees, and there's still a squabbling over various documents that Congress people want, especially on the Democratic side, and the president and his administration argue that they don't have the right to that information. And then there was the subpoena of Donald Trump Jr. last week, and that was very fascinating, if for no other reason that it didn't come from House Democrats, it came from a Senate Republican-led mm-hmm. committee, because they want to go back and look and have Trump Jr. come, because he already had testified before, in the Mueller investigation, and they didn't like how some of the earlier comments went up against what the report came from the special counsel. So we'll have to see if he shows up again. There's indication that the White House and the Trump family don't want that to happen, obviously.
Right. So help me to understand the Senate committee that's asked for Donald Trump Jr. To appear. The Republicans in the Senate, I'm assuming, are accepting the Mueller report saying that there's no collusion. So they're not looking into the collusion. They're looking into whether into Russia's interference, as far as not assuming that there was American complicity in it, but just looking at the Russian side and seeing what Donald Trump can provide them. I don't get it.
Yeah, it looks it appears as if there is concern from both Republicans and Democrats on that committee that what they were told initially, or what initially was explained by Trump Jr., doesn't match up with the events as they were laid out in the Mueller report. So by subpoenaing him, by having him come back, or trying to get him to come back, they want to sort of try and correct his testimony or his record as they see it. Now the president says, "Look, this is already total exoneration, not only for him and his son. Although exoneration was a word that Mueller did not himself use, the special counsel. So there's a lot of resistance from the president and his family, of course. But it just begs, the question as to exactly, what members of this committee, this intelligence committee,
right,
are seeing as well, if they've looked at the redacted version of the Mueller report, because maybe there is something there.
This too will be revealed.
I would just love to see Congress just doing something that's unrelated to the president,
mm-hmm.
just being legislators. That's just what I'm longing for.
Do some work, yeah. Maybe at some point.
Sure, and that's the thing, because we're starting to get to the place in the calendar where, passing budget resolutions and, the actual business of Congress, needs to start happening. And some of that is happening behind the scenes and away from the spotlight of, all of these other, controversies that are going on. But there is this concern that the protracted, debates and conflicts between the White House and especially House Democrats has really dragged business on Capitol Hill to a stall.
So, Greg, is there a summer recess soon?
Well, I don't know how soon it is. I mean, they certainly have various recesses. They'll have a Memorial Day recess, and then, of course, they've got a 1 or 2 week break when it comes to the 4th of July, and then usually a good part of August is time away from Washington for lawmakers. So those are already built into the schedule.
Yes.
And that all obviously what that does is that shrinks the number of actual working days here in D.C. for these lawmakers to get that actual business done.
Well, all right. Well, Greg, we can't tell you how much we appreciate this time with you and your excellent coverage of these things that really aren't easy to figure out. So we appreciate your time with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Glad to do it. Thanks.
Greg Clugston, SRN News, White House correspondent.
I just want them to do some legislating.
Something? What? They've got a job to do, right?
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-881-4747. That's 1-800-881-4747. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-881-4747.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Lowe's knows you'll do it right to get your deck ready for entertaining. We're here to help with top brands like Cabot and Valspar so you can refresh your deck at the right price. And we can match any color stain so you're sure to get the look you're going for. Valspar exterior stain and sealer starts as low as $35.98. When you're finished, add a pop of color with 2 for $10 select hanging baskets. For simple and refreshing updates, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/15. See store for details. U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
If you're wondering how kids can be truly educated when God, Scripture, and prayer are removed from the classroom, well, wonder no more, because you have choices nearby, and you'll find them on the map at PittsburghChristianSchools.net. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
Right now, there are young people across the world facing a tough choice. Continue their dream of education or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment. See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents.
Funny things were happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hair's on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
We're going to stay damp for the next couple of days, chilly through tomorrow, then we warm up. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a couple of showers, 42 for the low. Chilly breeze tomorrow with mainly cloudy skies and a shower in spots, 55 for the high. We'll see partial clearing tomorrow night, a little chilly, 42 again. Then warming up Wednesday, but with increasing clouds, followed by an afternoon shower thunderstorm, high 67. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be.
Of course, that is the fabulous now voice of Doris Day. Passed away at 97 today.
God bless her.
97. I mean, what a career she had. She was a she first burst onto the scene back in the 50s as a big band voice, and then parlayed that into movie stardom, and then a long, long run on television. You remember Doris Day, don't you?
I remember Doris Day from this movie, The Man Who Knew Too Much.
That's a great movie.
My father was a gigantic Doris Day
fan.
Was
he, though?
Huge Doris Day fan. Yes. And so I went to see The Man Who Knew Too Much at the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Oh, did you?
When I was maybe in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade.
I saw it at
Jimmy Stewart, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart. I saw it at the Chatham Theater downtown. Yeah. And the night that I saw it, I had a wreck in my car. I totaled my car.
And I remember, that's not a good connection.
Well, it's kind of a weird, you know, I remember standing on the side of the road after my car was totaled. My sister was with me. She broke her thumb. And we were standing there waiting for, you know, the cops and the tow truck to show up. And we were humming Que Sera, Sera.
Of course. There you go. You know, I've heard that Mike Duffy, New Mike, loves that song.
Oh, do you though, Mike?
That's, that can be further from the truth.
What?
I despise that song.
Why? Why? Why?
It's ridiculous.
Oh.
Listen to it.
What's wrong with it?
Whatever will be. It is so annoying.
I don't think it is.
The future's not. It's awful. I can't even listen to it.
I prefer to listen to that than most of the stuff that's on the radio today.
I got to tell. Well, I don't know if I can go with you on that.
Come on.
I will say the thing that's great about Mike is it's really hard to get at his actual opinion because he's so reticent.
He's
he
veiled.
Just doesn't want to share. So
I don't know. I like it. And I'm sorry to see Doris Day pass. She was a big animal rights person, wasn't she?
Yes, she was always. Yeah. And what about Peggy Lipton? She also passed away over the weekend.
Peggy Lipton from the Mod Squad. Holy smokes.
Now, I did not know the Mod Squad. Oh. I remember Peggy Lipton from Twin Peaks.
Right. She had a resurgence, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know. I'd heard of the Mod Squad, but I didn't know what that was.
Late 60s. I mean, that was like cutting edge.
Was it?
You know.
Okay, well, let me tell you. We watched the
opening.
The opening on YouTube.
There they go. And they're running. Running from something. Yeah. A white guy, a black guy, and a beautiful blonde. Three of them together. It was like cutting edge. It was like cultural engagement of the highest order.
It is so cheesy.
Oh, I loved it so much.
It is epic. Oh. Cheese.
I mean, every week, you know, they solved a crime. It was one of those crime drama things. But it was like people that were, you know, close enough to your age. And the guys had, you know, at the time, longish hair. And, you know, they were hip. That was happening. I mean, that was cutting edge. The Mod. Just the name itself. They were Mod. Who's Mod?
I don't think I know a person who is.
M-O-D. Well, to be Mod at one point was to be super bad, super cool.
So she was, what was she like a romantic interest to either one of those guys? Or was
You know, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That might have gone over my head. I was a little too young for that.
Sure.
I just wanted to, you know, just be
you
part of
it. You just wanted them to be friends.
I wanted to be Mod. That's all I wanted to be. I wanted to see some guy in bell bottoms. And that girl with her blonde hair waving in the wind. That's all.
Okay, so Peggy Lipton married Quincy Jones.
Yes.
The acclaimed composer and arranger.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two beautiful daughters.
Yep.
One of which, Rashida, who you know if you watch Parks and Rec. She was Anne. Or The Office. I forget what was her character's name on The Office?
I don't know.
Jim's girlfriend? I can't think of her name.
But as Anne, I mean, you know.
She was so terrific.
She was flummoxed. She was the nurse.
She was awesome.
Was the responsible one.
She is so terrific. I love that show.
Very funny.
Anyway, so the death
Peggy
of Doris Day and Peggy Lipton.
Right. Okay, we'll take a break, come back.
We're going to
may or may not have a guest.
We may or may not have a guest. We're going to find out.
It's the mystery segment up next. Stick around.
WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
We must never underestimate the power of words. It is a gift from God, an incredible gift from God, this gift of speech and communication.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping, and I'll see you at the club. Thank you.
Come celebrate faith, family, and fun Wednesday through the weekend at Neville Rollerdrome. There's something for everyone, from families to youth groups. However you like to roll, from hits old and new to high-energy games, family-friendly favorites to your favorite CCM tunes, Neville Rollerdrome offers a mix of safe, clean family fun for every age. See skate rules and session details at skatenrd.com. Neville Rollerdrome, this is how we roll. At skatenrd.com.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I was skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow, but what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
Today's world craves leaders. Leaders with vision, moral character, and independent thinking. Leaders aren't born, they're made. And since 1986, Rhema Christian School in Moon has laid the foundation that makes leaders through academic and extracurricular activities designed to be as instructional as they are competitive, through mission and service opportunities, arts and athletics, an independent school where pre-K through 8th grade students are formed to become the independent leaders of tomorrow. Schedule a tour at RhemaChristianSchool.org.
When Brian Sims first ran for state representative, that was, I don't know, 9 years ago. He was going to be a new voice. He was going to be a cutting edge voice. He was going to, you know, represent the marginalized, but he was pro-business and we were all about it. And, you know, he's out in Philadelphia and we're here in Pittsburgh. But, you know, I recognized what was going on. And then, of course, he came to prominence when he flipped off the vice president on his first trip to Philadelphia, as I remember. But just last week on Monday, he really went about things in a way you cannot imagine if you haven't seen it in his Twitter video rant standing outside of Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I'm once again out in front of Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania. It's not only in my district, it's the most heavily protested Planned Parenthood, I believe, in the country. And today's protester, now, she is an old white lady who's going to try to avoid showing you her face. But the same laws, luckily, that protect her from being out here also protect me from showing you who she is. And so my hope is that you'll donate $100 for every extra hour that this woman is out here telling people what's right for their bodies. So I have a couple questions for you, ma'am. How many children have you clothed today? I'm sorry, I missed your answer. How many children have you clothed today? How about how many children have you put shoes on their feet today? Have you fed any children today, or have you just stood out in front of a Planned Parenthood shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do? Huh? If you're here about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you feed a child, but you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Who'd have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you.
This is outrageously aggressive behavior.
What a jerk.
It is jerk behavior.
It's plain and simple.
On behalf of one of our elected representatives. Well, to talk about it, we have Selena Zito with us, author of The Great Revolt, Inside the Populist Coalition Reshaping American Politics. Selena, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is jerk behavior.
Yeah, what do we call that in Pittsburgh? Jag off?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's a jag.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. Sometimes politicians get caught in a moment, right? They have a moment of outrage, or they say something flippant, and they get in trouble, and it's caught on, you know, somebody's iPhone. This wasn't that case. This wasn't that moment. It wasn't a moment of passion where all of us can understand sometimes we say things, foolish things, when we're caught in a moment of passion. This was premeditated. he purposely went out there with this in mind, to go after whoever was there. And since it's right by his home, he sort of had an idea of what kind of protesters it gathers, which is, in this case, an elderly woman. And then and the other time that he did it, it was a group of teenage girls. So it's a very predatory behavior, and he uses the power of his office. If you listen to the videotape in full, in which he says, look, nothing's going to happen. I'm paraphrasing here, but he essentially says nothing's going to happen to me because I'm a state representative and I have power and you don't.
Right. And so essentially nothing has happened to him, has he?
Well, I think behind the scenes, he has really faced a lot of pushback within the Democratic, his Democratic peers, as well as Republicans. But we shall see. Speaker Tarzan has a moment to censure him, and he would be well within his rights to do so. And I think that sends a clear and concise message that this type of behavior, this wasn't about ideology. This wasn't about policy. This was about threatening someone and using the office in which you hold as a sort of bludgeon to, or a weapon or a hammer or whatever you want to call it. But he used power in a very dangerous way.
He surely did. And one of the ways, and of course he crossed the line, Selena, more than several times, but one of the ways is that he called out these three teenage girls and was offering $100 for anyone who was watching the video on YouTube to identify these girls, essentially looking to threaten them in some way. I mean, if some harm were to come to these girls or the woman that he was also harassing.
You mean the old white lady?
The old white, right. I mean, something really serious that could have happened here. These people could have been hurt. Who knows what could have happened?
Right. So that's called doxing, D-O-X, doxing. And it is a popular method used by activists, typically on the left, although you will see people that are to the far right who have done it as well, where they reveal where someone is from, where they live, what their age is. And I will tell you from personal experience, when those moments happen, it is terrifying.
I bet.
You feel as though you can't, you have nowhere to be safe because people are coming at you. They're calling your personal home. They're sending direct messages to your social media account. They're emailing you. They're calling your home. They're knocking on your door. And the threats are real. And the threats are scary, and that he did this to an elderly woman and three underage teenagers is an abuse of power that is shameful, absolutely shameful. This is the type of thing that religious people have been afraid was going to happen, and it has.
The weird thing about it is, for the woman who was out there praying, she had a rosary out. Apparently, he was saying, oh, you're harassing people. I saw no harassment there. For the three teenage girls, it seemed very peaceful. There was nobody in anybody's face. This was just a typical day at the Planned Parenthood facility, right?
Right. And in most cases, what happens in any of these protests, I'm sure all of us have seen it at one time or another. It's almost always just praying.
Right.
You know, sometimes it gets a little loud and noisy, but that is the rare case. That is not the common case. And I think there were five people in total both times that he was there.
I see.
So
there's been a response to this. A few days after this incident happened, many people who were pro-life gathered. They're saying more than 1,000 people.
Yeah. So they went to this Planned Parenthood and facility, and it was just sort of There was praying. It was kind of a joyful thing. There wasn't really a lot of anger there.
Great, great.
And he did, he did two things that are really interesting and also incredibly cowardly. He said he was going to release an apology video. He never once apologized in the video. And then he did the ultimate sign of bravery by making his Twitter account, which he used as a weapon to hurt someone, and he made it protected so that nobody could bother him. So, I mean...
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I don't know.
Okay, so as a Democrat, yeah. I mean, if he was in Pittsburgh, as a Democrat, sort of, you know, you write your own way forward once you're elected. As a Democrat in the Philadelphia area, as he comes up for re-election, there's a possibility that he could face some competition?
Yeah, look, I think pretty much the Democratic Party... in this state, well, there have been now a couple that have come out and taken him to task for this. The Democratic Party in the state, on the state level, tends to be, and when, I'm not talking about leadership on either side, but I'm talking about your state rep and your state senator. They're pretty much not ideologues, right? They're mostly elected to, like, get the roads, paved and bridges paved and get the state money that you need for projects in your community.
Right.
I suspect you're going to see more people not only come out and condemn him for this, but I also suspect, based on some conversations that I've had with some Philadelphia Democrats, that you're going to see him primaried in the next election. He has not lived up to his promise. He promised to be a guy that was going to, like, work a consensus builder and pro-business, and he has been an ideologue since the moment he welcomed Vice President Pence to the city of brotherly love with the middle finger.
Right. And, yeah, that's our state representative, Brian Sims. But we're happy to have Selena Zito with us. Selena, thank you so much. More excellent commentary from you.
Yes, Selena Zito, author of The Great Revolt Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politics. Selena Zito.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-936-5496.
Hey, TBN, the largest Christian television network in the whole world, has launched its very first daily TV show made especially for women. It's underway. In this TV show, this project, this brand new offering from TBN, it's called Better Together. Now, Better Together features different voices and different faces each week. This week, we're featuring Laurie Crouch, Christine Kane, Alex Seeley, Jen Johnson, and Diana Nepsta. And they're talking about real stuff that matters to women today. So whether it's a relationship with your spouse or how to serve well in a church, maybe it's making the most of your friendships. This is women talking together about the things that you want to talk about too. So don't miss it. Tune in, would you? TBN's Better Together. It's on every day, 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
Attention timeshare owners. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list. Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. With rising costs, you probably wish you had a way to get out of that burdensome and expensive timeshare. Thankfully, we can help. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with Extreme Detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
In listening to that Brian Sims video of him ranting about the old white lady in front of the Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia, I've listened to it like 10 times.
Do yourself a favor, please.
Yeah, you just need to watch it.
It's like seven and a half minutes long or something.
Anyway, but something I noticed, and this has come up multiple times on stories of great interest that have gotten a lot of play over the last 3 or 4 months. How about the out-of-breathness? Yes. Of his presentation.
He's running back and forth.
Right. Okay, so it reminds me, it sounded very much like the black Hebrew Israelites when they were shouting at people at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., before the whole confluence of the kid from Covington High School and the elderly man playing the drum from the Cherokee Nation.
Right.
Okay, similar, the black Hebrew Israelite out of breath. How about the woman who accosted Chelsea Clinton right after the New Zealand massacre and saying, how dare you? And I want you to feel this. There's something about when you're an activist, you can't breathe enough.
Yeah.
You feel like the whole weight of the world of justice is on your shoulders.
Right.
And so therefore you can't even breathe under it.
All of a sudden you're like Edward R. Murrow on the beaches of Normandy during D-Day. I mean, what the heck? You're just being a jerk. Please, people.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says the U.S. has a very strong position in its trade war with China.
The president believes his decision to increase tariffs on Chinese imports is good for the U.S. economy.
This is a very positive step.
At the same time, he said he's prepared to help American farmers who have been hurt by the trade war.
Out of the billions of dollars that we're taking in, a small portion of that will be going to our farmers.
In response to China's retaliation, the president said he hasn't decided whether to slap tariffs on additional Chinese goods. Greg Clugston, the White House.
In retaliation, China has imposed increased tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods. Wall Street plummeted today on news of the trade war, with the Dow down 617 points at the close of trading today, the Nasdaq lower by 269, and the S&P declining 69. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
This is the Entertainment Answer. A Dog's Journey is the follow-up to A Dog's Purpose, and actor Josh Gad says it is the perfect sequel.
Although there are cathartic tears along the way, there's also
so much excitement, there's so much adventure, and there's so much laughter. And I was blown away because I felt that the writers not only lived up to the first film, but in many ways, I think they set the bar even higher.
A Dog's Journey, rated PG. For this Entertainment Answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Share, like, comment, tweet. Are these foreign terms to your business? They may not be to your competition and the reason you're losing sales. We're Salem Surround. We take the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. Learn more by logging on to SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping. And I'll see you at the club. Thank you.
We're going to stay damp for the next couple of days. Chilly through tomorrow, then we warm up. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a couple of showers. 42 for the low. Chilly breeze tomorrow with mainly cloudy skies and a shower at spots, 55 for the high. We'll see partial clearing tomorrow night, a little chilly, 42 again. Then warming up Wednesday, but with increasing clouds, followed by an afternoon shower, thunderstorm, high 67. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
You know, age gives you a platform, hopefully, of wisdom. And so when you tune in and watch a pirate game and you start to see things happen, you go, oh, I'm wise enough to know that I've seen this before a lot. And this debacle that's about to unfold, I've repeated this again and again and again. And on the flip side, when the good things happen, you go, hey, man, that starting pitching looks really solid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that defense in the field. How about that hitting? So over the weekend, the
hated?
Well, I can't say they're hated. Here's what I feel about
that. How can you not say they're hated?
Because I like the Cardinals. I like the St. Louis Cardinals because that is a baseball town. And if you're a Cardinals fan, you've invested yourself in decades of excellence. It's not like the Yankees. I don't believe the Cardinals walk around with old big puffy chests. They're not like the Braves, who are sort of a fairly new invention and were arrogant as the day was long. There's something about the Cardinals that I respect.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't mind.
Do you respect the Cubs?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to respect them for their long-suffering ways, despite their recent resurgence.
Yeah, see, me not having decades of baseball fandom behind me,
yeah,
I can't look at St. Louis that way. The only thing I can see in St. Louis is the fact that they continually have bested the Pirates at important, in fact, shall I say, crucial moments.
Season after season.
And I just can't stand it.
Right.
So over the weekend, and after, of course, game one, us losing, was it 17-4?
Yeah.
Three? I don't even know.
17-4.
Didn't even matter what it was.
It was 17.
It was 17. The fact that the Pirates took the next three
out of four
was so outstanding.
It sure was.
And I loved how yesterday unfolded.
I know. So, you know, it's you sit down and I'm going to watch a game. I'm going to spend some time watching the game. They look like a darn good team.
Don't they look like a
they
good
do.
Team?
They do. And they look like they're having fun. And they
yes.
like, how about Polanco skipping? Was that fun?
No, that looks silly.
I know,
I'll be
I
honest with you. He's
I
like 8
it.
Feet tall and skipping.
He's like a big old giraffe.
And for all of my fear about Josh Bell playing first base.
One ball, one strike. Here's the pitch. Ripped to right field. Does it have enough height to get out of here? It is gone. A line drive, 3-run homer to tie it at 6. Josh Bell just hit a laser.
Very nice. Okay, so the Pirates scored 3 runs in the first inning yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and then the Cardinals came back in the bottom of the first and scored 6. And you think, oh, there
it is. Here we
go. Pirates. This is the Pirates. And then they came back, scored 5 runs. Was it 5 runs in the seventh?
Seventh, I think.
Yeah. And then they came back and boom, boom, boom. We won that game. That
it was absolutely. That hit was so awesome.
Oh, it sure was.
I mean, that was like 400 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Boom.
A line drive.
Yep.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
It was absolutely awesome.
So let's go Bucks.
Yeah, let's go Bucks. To see his mom and dad there
mm-hmm.
on Mother's Day and the whole thing.
Hitting streak. Yeah. Okay. So tonight they're in Arizona, a 9:40 game. Which I like kind of like a late game.
I enjoy that.
Me too.
I got to be honest with you. I get to go home. I get mm-hmm. to have some dinner. I get to relax a little bit.
Settled
I'm
in.
I'm kind of getting ready for bed and I get to turn the game on.
Right. But I can't stay up till midnight or past.
Well, no. But the thing is,
yeah.
you put on the radio broadcast and you just kind of drift off.
There you go.
But you feel good about it. This is going to be a test.
Yeah.
This is a good team.
Because Arizona came in and cleaned our clock.
Yes. It's a really, really good team.
Yeah.
So, all right. But good news because graduates, college graduates, are coming to Pittsburgh in droves, and there's good reason why.
No, wait a second. I saw this in today's Wall Street Journal, and there's the new cities for new grads. How are they calling Pittsburgh the new city? Salt Lake City, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. The Wall Street Journal was saying these are the places, if you're a new grad and you want to get yourself a good job in a good city, come to Pittsburgh. Here's what they say the Wall Street Journal has to say about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has led a wave of Rust Belt cities and urban renaissance, yet few rival its combination of affordability, a robust food and art scene, and a surplus of entry-level tech and other professional jobs. Grads who set up in Pittsburgh are in for a lot of good company. Nearly a quarter of Pittsburgh's residents are in their 20s. Now that, I'm going to go off the chart here. That runs counter to what we've heard many years.
That Pittsburgh is an older city.
Right.
It's you know, senior citizens. That's why it's so culturally conservative
in
so many ways.
A quarter are in their 20s. Among residents with bachelor's degrees, Pittsburgh's unemployment rate is a paltry 2.2%.
Yes.
In a recent survey by recruiting firm Robert Half, 92% of hiring managers in the Pittsburgh area said they aim to hire new graduates, the fourth highest percentage behind Miami, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas. With more than 2,200 restaurants and bars, Pittsburgh has ample nightlife and culinary options and made Yelp's top 10 list at number 8 mm-hmm. of U.S. foodie cities this year. Recent grads can partake without blowing their budget. The median income for rent in Pittsburgh is about $800. How about that? Ninth lowest
Wonderful.
Cost of living out of 108 metro areas. It's
all right, grads.
Pittsburgh.
Come on in. Hey, I went to, speaking of it being a gastronomically pleasing city,
yes.
I went to a new restaurant that I'm giving
oh.
I am giving 5 stars out of a possible
really?
5 stars.
This was Friday night?
Yeah, I went to Revival in Bellevue.
Where's that?
This is a brand new, well, I shouldn't say it's brand new. It's brand new to me. Might be open 6 months on Lincoln Avenue in Bellevue. It is a home built in 1867
Whoa.
On the National Register of Historic Places that was in absolutely deplorable condition a year ago,
hmm.
purchased, revamped, and opened as a restaurant. The place is fabulous.
Really?
The place is fabulous.
The food?
I loved the food.
Really?
It's a small menu, maybe 4 salads, 5 appetizers, 7 entrees. Those are your only options.
That's okay.
It is terrific.
No kidding. What about your husband?
He loved it.
Did
we
he?
Both, and now my husband's a vegetarian,
yeah.
so it's much hard. If you're a vegetarian, it is hard to go out to eat. We've talked about this, John, before, because,
yeah.
you know, my husband and I will go out and I'll come back the next day and John will say, what did he think? And I'll say, well, he left hungry, which he hates.
Mm.
Because the problem with being a guy who's a vegetarian is you have to eat a lot of vegetables to be
yeah.
full. It's not like you're eating, you know, pork tenderloin or you're having a filet. You're not doing that. You need a lot of broccoli
much
to fill
shame.
Up.
Yeah,
trust
yeah.
me. And he always leaves places full, and it's very annoying to him. Anyway, he did not. He did not. He had a wonderful seafood dish.
Nice.
Now, I shouldn't say vegetarian. He's a pescatarian, so he eats fish. He had a wonderful seafood dish with pasta. Mm-hmm. Was wonderful. Mm. I absolutely loved.
Really?
I had a charred Caesar salad that was outrageous with grilled shrimp. It was killing. Anyway, try Revival.
Really?
On Lincoln Avenue in Bellevue.
Did you need reservations?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure. Every table was taken.
Really? So Bellevue's kind of like this little hot spot
now,
isn't it?
There's a taco place across the street I've heard good things about.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a new brewery, Lincoln Brewery, open on Yelp.
Bellevue, who would have known?
I will say one other thing that has nothing to do with the food.
Mm.
The most beautiful bathroom that I think I've been in.
Really?
That
old house bathroom.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, that's cool. All right, I'm going to put that on my
list. You like white marble? You should go see
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent. Okay. All right, we'll take a break, come back. What are we talking about here? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the shocking beliefs of the great Christians.
Oh, this is interesting.
You're going to be surprised at a lot of this.
Yeah, I think so. Don't get angry. But it's a fact. Stay with us.
Hey, if you're an employer or a business owner, if you have 5 to 100 employees, listen up. The cost of doing business continues to skyrocket, strangling your HR department with more regulations, administrative duties, and liability than ever. And your health plan? It's a big part of that cost. Another year, another 10% rate hike, another $1,000 increase on your deductible, another hospital or doctor you can't go to because they're not in network. I mean, isn't it time for a change? Stop the insanity. Call Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the industry. Put an end to the annual increase. Give your employees a national network that all hospitals accept and reduce your monthly premiums by 20 to 30%. It doesn't matter when your renewal is. Marley can help you today. So give them a call at 724-884-1496. That's 724-884-1496 or go to marleyfg.com.
101.5 WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Have you ever thought God just can't use you?
You think perhaps God is finished with you. I want to tell you God is no more finished with you than God was finished with the children of Israel just because they sinned. God is the God of a second chance.
Learn how you can possess your possessions this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community, with results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average. Schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org. Graduation Day is finally here. Celebrate their achievement and leave the catering to Bistro To Go in the Northside. From backyard family gatherings to glitzy affairs, their simply delicious creations are sure to impress. Fresh, unique, and artistically displayed. From crisp salads and fresh fruits to gorgeously grilled chicken or beef and delectable desserts. With vegan and gluten-free options. Reasonably priced, fully staffed, delivered, or ready to go. Celebrate success with Bistro To Go at bistroandcompany.com.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents...
Funny things were happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
We tend to think of the theological greats as having it all together.
Yeah, they knew everything.
Oh.
They had their theology perfect.
Right down the line.
They had it all decided. And that whoever I like, whatever the theologians are that I most favor, they would all agree.
Yeah, that everything is just right down the line. C.S. Lewis, Jonathan Edwards, John Calvin, John Wesley, mm-hmm. all those guys.
Yeah, they'd all agree on stuff,
why would
right?
I question that? I mean, but the fact of the matter is, that is far, far, far from the truth. Frank Viola's with us. Frank's a teacher, an evangelist, a writer. He's got a brand new workout called Regrace, what the shocking beliefs of the great Christians can teach us today. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Frank, this is such an awesome idea. I mean, I laugh out loud when I read some of these stories only because they really blow up our misconceptions. Is that why you wrote the book? I mean, why did you start this blog that turned into the book we're looking at?
I wrote the book because Christians are slaughtering each other online, on Facebook, on Twitter, over theological disagreements. And so many Christians, they have no tolerance for a belief that differs from theirs in the Christian community. And so they go weapons grade on their fellow brothers and sisters just because they may disagree with a doctrinal viewpoint or a political viewpoint. And that violates the spirit of Jesus Christ. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It's a terrible witness to the world. And so what I thought I would do is write a book that showed that all of the great theologians didn't see all things clearly. All of them had some pretty erroneous views and even shocking views. And if Christians can see that, then they would kind of chill out a little bit when their fellow brothers and sisters don't get it right in their view, because even C.S. Lewis and Billy Graham and Jonathan Edwards and John Calvin and Martin Luther and on and on and on, they didn't see everything clearly. They missed it in some places. So let's cut each other some slack when we come across a disagreement with one another.
Okay, good. So it's nice to look in someone's closet or under their bed and go, what the heck were they thinking about? What's going on there? Start with a few examples. Talk to us about, how about C.S. Lewis? What do we need to know about C.S. Lewis?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the point. The point is not to degrade C.S. Lewis.
No.
The point is to exalt him. And I show that C.S. Lewis was used by God. He is one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He is someone whose books reach atheists today, agnostics today, strengthen Christians today. God used C.S. Lewis. Amen.
Amen.
But C.S. Lewis didn't see all things clearly, okay? And I list many, many beliefs that he had that would shock many Christians. The point is not to get stuck in the weeds on all that. It's to say, wait a minute. If C.S. Lewis, used by God, great Christian, can miss it in some ways, then that person that's on Facebook that I see, their political view is something I disagree with, then I better think twice before I pull out my theological doctrinal sword and cut them to ribbons, because even the great C.S. Lewis didn't see everything clearly.
That's good.
And so, you know, if every Christian could read this book, Read Grace, What the Shocking Beliefs of the Great Christians Can Teach Us Today, if everyone who's a believer read that and they received the message, you know what we would have? We would have Christians disagreeing with each other on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it, and they would be loving each other despite their disagreements, and that would shock the world, because the world can't get along. Conservatives and liberals hate each other. You see it every day. Those are worldly people, but the problem is that Christians do the same thing. They treat each other so ugly, so horribly, so unchristlike, so ungracious, and it grieves the Lord. And everybody that's listening to me, if you're on Facebook, you've seen it. I've had many Christians, they log off of Facebook, they stop, because even their fellow brethren have blocked them. That's the new excommunication. It's being blocked on Facebook by a fellow Christian because they disagree politically. That's the real problem.
Yep.
And that's why I wrote the book.
Right. I love that. Now, so I'm a person who's been a fan of C.S. Lewis, and I've read a bunch of his stuff. And of course, I don't agree with everything C.S. Lewis wrote. So, however, the fact that he's C.S. Lewis makes me think that maybe I should listen to somebody that I don't agree with. So, for example, C.S. Lewis believed in purgatory. So if you've read The Great Divorce, you recognize that he thought the purgatory was a thing, right? But just because he thought that there was a purgatory, and I don't think there was a purgatory, doesn't mean that I'm never going to read a C.S. Lewis book again. But it also doesn't mean that his ideas about purgatory and The Great Divorce are something I need to shield myself from or somehow be protected, like I'm going to, I don't know, be infected or something.
Bingo, that's right. So here's the thing. If C.S. Lewis was living in our day, he would just be raked over the coals by blue-blooded Christians who demand doctrinal perfection, meaning you have, by that, meaning you have to agree with every doctrine they have. And here is the fact. Here, and let me make this statement. I hope everybody listens. if you push a doctrine, you have dethroned the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are obsessed with a doctrinal viewpoint so much so that you cannot see past anything else, and you will treat a fellow brother or sister harshly and unkindly, then you have missed the Lord. Mm-hmm. And even though you may think you're right, you're wrong. Okay, and so I'm really talking about how to disagree with people in a gracious, civil, kind, Christ-like manner. Somebody says, what about false teachers? What about false teaching? Well, I talk about that in the book. And one of the chapters is on what heresy was in the first century. I tell you, it's very different from what we think it is today, you know. And heresy now, that's the label that people use to depict anybody that disagrees with their theological viewpoint. I have a story in the book that's so profound, and it really sums up what I'm saying. George Whitefield and John Wesley disagreed with each other bitterly over theology. You know, Wesley was an Arminian, and Whitefield was a Calvinist, okay? So Calvinists and Arminians historically call each other heretics. Well, one day George Whitefield was asked the question, will we see John Wesley in heaven? And George Whitefield paused and he said, I don't think so, because he will be so close to the throne of God, and we so far away, we will hardly get sight of him.
That's wonderful.
That's a Calvinist saying that about an Arminian.
Yeah.
Folks, Christians, we need to regrace, and that's why I wrote this book.
Excellent.
That's so good, Frank. I love it so much.
So, Frank, when you know, today, like you're saying, we tend to look at our faith heroes like they're guys on the picture of baseball trading cards, right? And so, you know, I'll give you one Joel Osteen for three Billy Grahams. Whether we want to admit it or not, there is a pecking order that is in everyone's mind of their top 5 or 10 or 20 preachers and teachers today, and that's unto itself is a weird thing.
Yeah, it is, you know, but the thing is, I mean, I think that all of these people I treat in the book deserve our respect. Of course, not our worship, but our respect. But what's really great is that when a Calvinist... And I know Calvinists, I know many Calvinists, many Calvinists are friends of mine, and I'm neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian, by the way, but here's the thing, I have watched Calvinists destroy fellow Christians online because they disagreed with 5 points of Calvinism. I'm talking about roasting them over a slow spit, calling them belligerent names, acting so self-righteous and unkind. Well, here's the thing. John Calvin was a great man, and I talk about how great he was and what he did, but I also talk about the things he believed that were not biblical. And so if a Calvinist could read that chapter, right, and not faint by the time they finish, it will have to cause them to step back and say, wait a minute, even the great John Calvin, the guy that I respect above everybody else, he didn't have immaculate perception. He didn't see everything correctly. Therefore, I need to be more gracious when I disagree with another Christian. Be more patient, right? We don't want people to be patient with us. So that's really why I wrote the book. And that's the effect it's having on people. It's blowing their minds, and it's causing them to step back and be more patient and ask questions instead of making accusations when they disagree with another Christian.
Frank Farrell is the author of the brand new book, Regrace, What the Shocking Beliefs of the Great Christians Can Teach Us Today. Frank, one of the things that has always been disturbing me, especially as you said through the advent of social media, is that it seems like theology is utilized today for the purpose of making a club. It kind of seems as if I need to be able to sew up all the things about God so that I can kind of put them in like a wall around me so I can keep all the bad stuff out and I can just keep the good information in. And I think, boy, we have missed the point, not only of unity with other believers, but we've missed the point that we're supposed to be worshiping a person, Jesus. We're not supposed to be, you know, worshiping some sort of system of beliefs.
Well, that's perfect. That's so good. You know, A.W. Tozer said something to the effect that, you know, the devil is the greatest theologian of all. You know, and also you can be as straight as a rifle theologically and just as empty spiritually. You know, having the correct theology doesn't make you a person who knows Jesus Christ or who loves Jesus Christ or is walking with Jesus Christ. Theology is important, don't get me wrong. But the real question is, when we disagree over theology, how do we react?
Right, how do
okay?
we handle it?
How do we respond? Yeah, and right. that's what the book is all about, how to disagree agreeably, how to have conversations that don't descend into, you know, ugliness and bitterness and unchristlikeness. And this is such a problem today. Right. I tell you, you know, Christians just don't know how to get along with one another when they disagree for the most part, and that's why I wrote this book. But you're correct, you know. People enshrine and worship a theological system today, so many of them, and Jesus Christ is left out in the cold. He is not the equivalent of your theology, folks. He is a real living person. Mm-hmm. And you can be theologically accurate, you know, just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. You know, and they were the ones who wanted him dead. But their theology was correct.
Yeah, so Frank, we only have a couple minutes left, but I think it's important to reiterate something that you've said. I just want to reemphasize it for our listening audience. It's not that theology is unimportant.
Right. Correct.
So it's a worthy study. In fact, it's an essential study for every Christian. So it's not that you're saying or I'm saying or John is saying
that we just
want to disregard it and we want to make we're all the same and ideas don't matter and we all just need to get along. It's not that. It's about being able to disagree strongly, but well.
Yeah, and to do it in a civil way and to do it in a way that's humble, that reveals Christ. I talk a lot about how to ask questions instead of just coming out of the gate making accusations. Mm-hmm. And also, one of the worst things of all is judging motivations. You know, imputing evil motives to a person's heart just because I disagree with them or I think I disagree with them. A lot of times, the disagreement is rooted in semantics, not substance. But you won't find that out unless you ask questions.
I'm into that. Well, Frank, let's see how this holds up. We'll see you at midnight on Twitter this evening.
All right, I'll take my doctrinal sword out of its sheath, and I'll be ready to cut somebody's ear off if they disagree.
Heaven help us. Frank, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Frank Viola.
Yeah, the new book, Read Grace, What the Shocking Beliefs of the Great Christians Can Teach Us Today.
Hey, I'm all
Preach
for it.
It. Preach
yeah, please.
It. Gosh, I haven't been this excited about a book in a long time.
Bring some sanity into this world. A couple of days ago, I drove up to Grove City College to visit my son, who's a junior there. I'm hanging out in the boys' dorms, which is always interesting, as you might imagine. But looking at the posters of the activities of things that are coming around to Grove City on the wall, one of them is the Swing Dance Club presents the Blacklight Dance. Wear neon, swing dance with us. Right next to that is something called Kingdom Week, Grove City's Mission Conference, with three keynote speakers and missional organizations, all that. And it struck me, you might not find that at a lot of different universities, would you?
I think that's what sets Grove City apart, John, is that you don't, you could find Christian schools that are super serious
yeah.
and pretty legalistic about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to go there and learn and really not have a good time.
Right.
And then there are other schools you can go to that it seems like you don't have to learn anything. You certainly don't have to take any ethics seriously or any personal morality. You can just do whatever you want
yeah.
and, you know, drink and sleep around and whatever.
Party central.
And have a good time. But there has to be some happy medium there if we're hoping to raise, you know, healthy adults,
yeah.
right?
I mean, it should be fun. It's college.
It should be fun.
It should be interesting right? and engaging, but also a lot of fun.
Right. But it shouldn't be no holds barred. You know, there needs to be some awareness of your character and where you are in the world and what you're becoming
yes.
as you're there on a college campus.
So that's when I left Grove City at the end of the night. I was like, this boy is in a good mm-hmm. place. He is well planted in rich soil.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a school that combines what I think are the best of both worlds, great scholarship, great theology, and adding on just a really fun atmosphere for people to grow and become adults, then consider Grove City College. Find more online, gcc.edu.
Stuck in an expensive timeshare contract and feel like there's no way out?
I'm almost at $10,000 in 4 years. I've never traveled anywhere.
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group. I've helped thousands of people get rid of their timeshares. I know all the tricks because I'm embarrassed to say I once worked in the timeshare industry. We've saved suffering timeshare owners millions in debt and maintenance fees. When you're approved as a client, I guarantee you a 100% success rate. We'll get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off of your back permanently.
I honestly would recommend that you call Wesley Financial. They will help you.
Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free information kit. If they can't get you out of your timeshare, you'll pay nothing. Call 800-220-5757. 800-220-5757. That's 800-220-5757.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care. At StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
We're going to stay damp for the next couple of days. Chilly through tomorrow, then we warm up. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a couple of showers. 42 for the low. Chilly breeze tomorrow with mainly cloudy skies and a shower in spots. 55 for the high. We'll see partial clearing tomorrow night. A little chilly, 42 again. Then warming up Wednesday, but with increasing clouds followed by an afternoon shower thunderstorm. High 67. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Frank Strait.
Music is a world within itself. With a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity. You can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move. They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over.
Stevie Wonder, of course that is. You know the world's still on its axis when you can love Stevie Wonder and he's still with us. Album when it first came out?
Oh my god. I don't remember when it first came out.
I was in college. I got kicked out of the scene shop because we had this
too much dancing
and I was goofing around because you know when you're in theater school you got to take off painting, you got to do that. So I was in the scene shop upstairs sewing, which is like the last thing I wanted to do. We had that thing on, I don't know what it was on, probably cassette at that time, and I was dancing around the room. Mary Turner was our scene person. She was like, John Hall, get out of here right now.
Go. So it's Stevie's fault.
But kind of. But it was me. I was
over enthusiastic. You know, are you supposed to sit still when you hear that
song? No.
No. Oh, here we go. Lady, here I am. I'm still delivered.
I'm yours. I'm yours. This is 1973, maybe 72. You know, the last time Stevie was in Pittsburgh, he did the album.
I still can't believe.
I can't believe
I was not at that concert.
I did not go.
I mean,
to that.
I am so angry at myself for not going to that.
Yeah.
That was just. Anyway, we're doing all this because of Stevie's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Stevie.
You know how
Wonder.
Old he is?
I do know because I'm a fan.
Okay.
He's not quite 70, 69 years of age. What an incredible guy.
I just can't. You have anything else,
Correct.
Mike?
Thank you.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it.
When you get old. How about when they used to call them Little Stevie Wonder?
I know.
Right?
He's not little anymore.
No, he's not.
Mm-mm.
Just fabulous. I mean, what a,
I mean, I can't think.
Genius.
I can't think. Well, other than Earth, Wind, and Fire, I can't think of more joyful music than Stevie Wonder.
No, I agree. Yeah. Do you know the album?
Songs
the
of the Key of Life.
No, The Secret Life of Plants. Do you know that album?
I don't think I do.
It's a what we coined, I guess, as an experimental album. I remember I did a piece of theater and we used some of the music from. It's about the life of a plant. It's really interesting.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is. Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, I was just playing it like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I love this music." Yeah, The Secret Life of Plants.
Okay. Yeah. I think the only Stevie Wonder albums that I have songs in the Key of Life, but I think other than that, I feel like the only ones I have are best of albums.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I might have Live in Japan.
Uh-huh.
I think
yeah,
I have Live
great.
In Japan.
Yeah, that's a great album.
That is a great album.
I mean, my oldest kid is a big Stevie fan, so he's got a lot, like, you know, like the catalog on vinyl.
Oh, really?
Oh, you go to Jerry's Records.
Wouldn't that
be
awesome? Of course you could.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you could. You know what? I was just thinking of Ribbon in the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I love that. How many Stevie songs do you love? Bum, 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 bum. I mean, I'm just so, I am so grateful that man was born.
Me too.
He has given. I love this song.
Anyway, happy birthday, Stevie.
Gosh, thank you for everything. You know, if I saw him, if I met him, I would thank him for all the joy he has brought into my life.
You know,
I would. What a gift he has been to millions and millions of people. Happy birthday, Stevie Wonder.
WORD.
In many parts of the world, China, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, people have never heard the name of Jesus. Even if they have, many lack the resources to learn about it. Word FM has teamed with the Bible League to send God's Word to the world. $5 will send a Bible now. $100 will send 20. Give now at wordfm.com, keyword Bibles, or call 1-800-YES-WORD.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom!
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you. And Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
Turkey and stuffing, real mashed potatoes, sliced top round, Aunt Emma's broccoli casserole, chicken and gravy over buttermilk biscuits. Am I making you hungry yet? Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Spring House. You have a special event coming up in your life, a shower, a wedding, graduation party, company party, anniversary event, or any occasion where you'd love to serve all-natural, farm-fresh foods, then it's time to give the Spring House Catering Department a call at 724-228-3339. From your first conversation with Dawn, who will help you create a menu that's unique to you, to the beautiful, bounteous setup and display that my sister Jill and her crew create, you will be delighted. After every catering event, Jill tells our cooks, "I wish I could take you with me so you could hear all the wonderful comments guests give us." Give us a call at 724-228-3339 or check out our extensive menu at springhousemarket.com for farm fresh catering from the Springhouse.
New message.
Your social security number has been suspended. If you do not contact us, your account will be deactivated.
Scammers are aggressive when they contact a potential victim. Social Security Administration employees will never threaten you for information or promise benefits in exchange for information. In those cases, the call is fraudulent and you should just hang up. Don't provide any personal or financial information to these thieves. Call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
In August of 1987, I was out of my mind. And truly, I was out of my mind. And I remember walking down the street, retrieving a...
street in Pittsburgh?
No, in New York City. Retrieving a day planner that I had left in a cab the night before. And by some miracle, some kind person found my day planner, called me and said, hey, man, I've got your book, which, you know...
Then was everything.
Was everything.
It's not like you had your calendar and your phone.
No, it's your calendar, your phone numbers, it's your life in your hands. And so if you lose your day planner, you're out of business, basically. But somebody found it and called me and said, I've got this, and here's my address, so stop by and pick it up. So I went to a Korean deli. It was on the corner of this place, and walked down this street, and there was all these brownstones, typical New York City side street. It was in the lower 40s in Manhattan. And I walked by this place and saw a little sign on the way down the street, and the sign said, the mustard seed. And, you know, I knew enough to go, oh, well, something biblical is happening there, the mustard seed. I went and retrieved my book, gave the person the flowers, and then on the way back, I went down into that basement, into the mustard seed. And those 6 steps down into that basement of that brownstone changed my life. Because when I walked in there, I took a seat next to a guy wearing, I'm sure, $1,000 suit on the left, and a guy on the right was barely clothed. He stunk to high heaven. And there I was in the middle of it all. And the things that I heard, the experience that I went through of the brutality of the honesty, of the grace, the stories, the power of that small group and that mustard seed in the basement of that brownstone, it changed my life for the better forever. Such is the power of AA and that small group model. Here to talk to us about small groups, what the small groups can do. Small Groups Anonymous, why the best church small groups might take their cues from the 12 steps, is Kent Dunnington. Kent is associate professor of philosophy at Biola University, and he's written a piece at Christianity Today called Small Groups Anonymous. Kent, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, so there's a brief sort of encounter into my first small group step into AA. Now, you're different because you're not an alcoholic, but at the same time, you know the power of the AA small group model.
That's right. My story's a little bit different than yours. Like you said, I'm not an alcoholic, but when I was in graduate school, I had a mentor who was an alcoholic and had been in AA a long time. And at that time, I was sort of spiritually adrift. And he invited me to come with him to a meeting just to see what it was like. It was sort of his own spiritual home, I think. And so I went with him, and I was gripped by it. Having been raised in the church, it reminded me of a lot of what I thought the church was supposed to be, but often hadn't been for me. And so I was really drawn to it, kept going, and ever since then have thought of it as a kind of powerful model for authentic spirituality that the church could learn from.
So, Kent, you said that the church had maybe not met your needs or your expectations. Talk about that. What was the church not doing that you recognized in AA?
I would say a different thing. I mean, so I was, you know, I grew up in a church where questions, doubts, the feeling of confusion or a feeling of distance from God or even anger with God were not welcome. And yet they were very much a part of my own experience as an adolescent, young person. So I had, I found in AA a group of people who could be brutally honest about their own spiritual emptiness, their spiritual brokenness, their confusion. There was no orthodoxy that had to be maintained by members of the group, and that permitted a level of honesty that I had never really experienced in the church. So that was it for me then, was just people grappling with the desire for God and their distance from God in a way that was totally honest and raw.
Yeah. I mean, there's the truth of the matter, right? And you write about this in your piece in CT, Small Groups Anonymous, that the thing about, I think, the power that small group in AA, you say, is the fruit of desperation. And anybody who's ever tried to get sober and can't get sober, that desperation, man, that comes at such a price. But it propels you into the room. It compels you to stay there. And if you're so inclined and honest in your first small steps of recovery, and the people around you, they themselves are honest, it takes you places that a small group in a church just cannot or will not take you. Because what's missing in the small group in a church is that it does lack that desperation.
That's right. Yeah, as I say in the piece, the more I thought about what AA has that probably can't be replicated in a church setting, that's one of the things. There's a kind of desperation to severe alcoholism that isn't really part of the normal quest for a life of spiritual flourishing. I mean, of course, there are times when we feel desperate for God just
yes,
in general.
Sure.
But it's pretty sporadic, whereas when you're really in the grips of intense alcoholism, it's desperate because you're dying. The other thing I think that is peculiar about the AA setting is the way that anonymity functions, because, well, you described it in your opening. The people that you sat with in that room would not be together under any other circumstances and probably will never encounter each other in another setting. And that allows them to be honest about their brokenness in a way that's hard to attain in a church setting.
Yeah, and Ken, one of the things I loved about that anonymity is, you'd be out somewhere in the city, even to this day, and you bump into somebody, at the grocery store or wherever, and you know things about that person that are just completely untoward. I mean, their secrets, and they know your secrets. And when you see each other, well, oftentimes, we don't even greet each other. We sort of look each other, you kind of nod, and then you move on with your life. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. And I love that so much, because there's such power there, that I don't have to be social. I don't have to reveal things. I just know that guy or that woman has got my back because they showed up like I showed up. And I love that so much. The thing about, so the whole piece that you wrote about Small Groups Anonymous is that in some ways an encouragement that, it's and wistful in some way, at least for me it's wistful, and that I would wish that small groups in the church would somehow have that engine of people loving on each other in that way, in that desperate, hardcore way, that, when we get together, when, a small group gets together, there's food, there's fellowship, it's polite, there might be a book study or something like that, or some Bible study, but it lacks something that is so vital that, is within the rooms of AA. And I don't know if you can ever replicate that because of that life and death situation that people are encountering.
I don't know either, to be honest with you. I mean, when I think about why I wrote the piece, there's a few reasons. One of them is what you say. I mean, I was curious about whether the intense kind of experience that happens in AA rooms could be reproduced in a church setting. But there are a couple other reasons, too. I mean, one is that people complain a lot about small groups, and I do that, too.
Sure.
I complain about the lack of discipleship in a church setting. But then I think when you really get down to thinking about what discipleship groups would have to be like to be different, it requires a level of commitment that I don't know that many Christians, even those who complain, really want to give themselves over to. Mm. I think it can be helpful to point out that we may not want what we say we want. And then a third reason I wrote the piece is, as I say at the end of the piece, I think most churches have people in the congregations who are engaged in AA or other 12-step groups. And we often think about addiction and that sort of thing in the church as a sort of problem that we have to find a solution to. But often I think that the people in our church who know the most about authentic spiritual community are people who have grappled with severe addiction. And so to put ourselves in a different posture towards them, posture of learning from their wisdom, I think would be helpful.
Yeah. And, there's something about especially in a large city. And Pittsburgh's like this as well, but, especially Manhattan. I mean, at any hour of the day or night, it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning and you'd go, I got to go to a meeting. Well, you could find a meeting. You could, where your small group, you're waiting for a week or two, or even, even when I, And I meet with guys, you know, guys in the church. There's something, I just wish, I don't know. I mean, when I read your piece, Small Groups Anonymous, it's online at CT, I got super excited because you get it and, you know, you're not an alcoholic. So I wish in some way that power, that passion, that honesty, that urgency, the desperation, all that could be encapsulated within the quest for authenticity in Jesus Christ. But I don't know if it will ever happen. But I appreciate you thinking about it and writing about it.
Oh, well, I appreciate the chance to talk about it. And I wouldn't want to be a defeatist about it either. There have been times in the church's history where there have been movements of, you know, small group practices that have revitalized Christian faith in amazing ways. And so in the piece, I do try to give some suggestions about what that might look like. And I'd be thrilled if people in their churches tried out something like what I proposed.
All right. Well, Ken, thanks an awful lot. Really appreciate you being with us. Kent Dunnington from Biola University. His most recent book is Humility, Pride, and Christian Theory. Kent Dunnington. Take a quick break. Come back. We get a smidge ahead, so stick with us. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy on a Monday afternoon.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070 or go to selectquote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a french fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And at Wendy's, we got you with a Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville. For the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at indeed.com/hire.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping, and I'll see you at the club. Thank you.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the One Place app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download One Place at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
June 8th, Man Up returns to the city of Pittsburgh at Victory Family Church in Cranberry Township. Man Up, it is a day of great fellowship, encouragement, wisdom from man to man, and Jesus Christ is in the middle. Here to talk to us about this is Hollis Half. Hollis joins us from New Community Church. Hollis, welcome to Word FM. How are you today?
Great, John. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, pleasure. Listen, Hollis, man up. Talk to us about this. This is important to you. Why?
Well, first of all, I love Urban Impact because it's committed to the discipleship mandate. I remember Ed Glover saying once, if we lose our cities, we lose. We all lose. And I love the fact that they're going after the at-risk inner-city kids because I think it's one of the greatest needs we have in our society today.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thrilled to be able to partner with them as a church and as a part of the Man Up conference.
Outstanding. So this is not just for guys like you and I. This is not just for regular guys. This is for people just looking for encouragement, guys who are looking for biblical wisdom, guys who are looking for some strength here, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the ways we've found to come along and encourage people in our churches is grandparents. I'm going to be actually doing a seminar called Putting the Grand Back in Grandparenting.
Nice.
And it all came about a couple years ago when I started looking for some curriculum to help our 55 and up population. Came across some research that had been done on biblical grandparenting, and the more I dug into it, the more I found that there was actually a movement that was taking foot in our country of biblical grandparenting. And so we launched a couple groups in our church that went very well. I had an opportunity to speak last year at Man Up. And what I love about it is that grandparents have a natural platform.
So that's Hollis Haff. He joins us from New Community Church talking about Man Up Pittsburgh. I mean, this is coming up real soon. Yeah, June 8th. It's a little coffee there. A little echo there. My coffee cup. June 8th is coming up. ManUpPittsburgh.org online. ManUpPittsburgh.org. Highly recommended. We were just talking about guys in community in small groups. This is a large group that breaks down into small groups.
And maybe you're a woman who knows a man, a husband, a son, a father, who could really use something like this. So why don't you sign him up?
I agree. Hey, always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks an awful lot. You can check us out online, wordfm.com, johnandkathyshow.com,
right.
iTunes.com, come.
The podcast available every day, iTunes.com. Find us there. My movie review of Tolkien, which has gotten a lot of press over the weekend, the movie that is, I find it online, johnandkathyshow.com, or link it through any of our social media options. And have a great night, Pittsburgh. Let's go, Bucks.
Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.